Moses says, I wish that all the people of the Lord were prophets. And he's talking about you. Now, I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about what a prophet is. The most common understanding of prophecy is foretelling the future. Really, that's not the sort of scriptural understanding of prophecy at all. That happens occasionally, but very rarely. The prophets were really the ones who proclaimed the truth. They were the messengers. They were the ones who spoke the word of God and very much about the here and now. They were proclaiming the things about now which no one wanted to hear. And if you look through the history of the prophets in the Old Testament, it was a very difficult job. The prophets didn't necessarily like being prophets. They were often very reluctant. Take someone like the prophet Jeremiah, called at a very young age, probably about 15. So take note, any young men here? The hand of God came upon him and said, I want you to go and speak, and not only just speak to anyone, go to the rulers of the land, go to the great kings, and speak my word to them. And that word was really a word of condemnation. And throughout the book of Jeremiah, he spends his whole time whinging and complaining, saying, God, is there any way I can get out of this? I really don't want to do this. Yeah, it's a difficult job. He ended up being persecuted in so many ways. So many of the other prophets ended up being killed because there is a certain word that no one wants to hear. You know, our society and our lives drift along very peacefully as long as no one ever turns the lights on and reveals the stuff that's hidden away in the darkness. Yeah, and you can see this in our personal lives. You can see this on the level of a whole country even. We're very nice and we're very happy as long as no one points out the things that are uncomfortable, the things that we wish no one would ever mention. And so here where Moses says, I wish that all the people of God would be prophets, that you here tonight would be filled with the Spirit and go out and proclaim the word that no one wants to hear. Do you have the courage to do that? To even pray for the grace to do that? Chances are no. Because it is such an uncomfortable calling. Now, as I mentioned, throughout this month, we've been focusing on the grace of the sacraments here within the 7 p.m. Mass. And tonight, very much about the grace of our vocation. And I think this weaves in beautifully to this reading because your vocation is to be a prophet. You are called to go out and speak the word of God. Now that takes many forms. We are all called to overtly and very clearly proclaim our salvation in Jesus Christ, to be able to say where our hope lies. But it's much more complex than that as well. It's for us to go out and speak truth. It's for us to go out and lead, to be people of influence in the world. Now, to a large degree, the reason why the world is in the state that it is because of Christians. We've got no one else that we can blame. It's because we have failed to do our mission. We have failed to step up and take this commission that's been given to us. We have the word of life, and yet we've kept our mouths firmly shut because we're afraid. We're terrified of being told that we're wrong, or that we're intolerant, or that we're causing hatred. All the rhetoric that's poured out against Christians these days, and all of it backs us into a corner and tells us to keep quiet and behave ourselves. Even on the very personal level, even within family, there is this constant message of Don't lead. Don't try and tell anyone else what to do. Don't try and tell anyone what the good is, because they've got the right to make a mess of their lives themselves. Now, this is a key issue for men. You know, there's a lot of studies coming out these days, and sociologists pointing out the fact that, you know, while men have this constant problem of always abdicating their authority, we've done this ever since Adam in the garden, but this is added to a society which says that men should just butt out. You've got no right to speak. You've been oppressing everyone for years, so just shut up. Let everyone else do the job for a change. And we've understood the message. Yeah, so this is why men just sit on the couch and do nothing, because that's what we've been told to do. And so within family, how often is it that a man actually leads? How often is it that a father will actually be prophetic and actually try and speak a truth to their children, to their family, actually set a direction and say, this is where we are going? The sad reality is that out of fear, they just keep their mouths shut and follow everyone else. Now, it's not just men, but mothers do the same. You know, there's this thing I heard recently saying that within families these days, they find that all major decisions within families are actually made by teenagers. The majority of purchases within a household, the decision comes from the teenager. What car to buy, what fridge to buy, what music to buy, whatever it is. And what this is symptomatic of a society which is scared. No one wants to have influence. No one wants to lead or be prophetic. And so it goes to the lowest in the household. The world is now run by teenagers. Now, I've got a lot of respect for teenagers, but that does scare me occasionally. But as Christians, where do we stand in this? If this is the constant message, just do your job, don't do anything different, don't cause any trouble, don't cause any waves, you'll just offend people if you try and make your opinion count. What this means is that the whole of society just slides downwards to what's easiest. You know, we go from being creatures who are designed for the glory of God, and we slide back to being animals. As a whole society, we're doing this. I wish that all of God's people would be prophets. You know, in whatever your vocation, to understand that this is your calling. I've spent a lot of time, particularly with young people, who are always asking, saying, how do I discern my vocation? How do I find out what God is calling me to do? And the thing that I constantly hear is that people see their vocation as simply being like a road they have to walk on. And so the question is not so much, what is God calling me to, but what's the right road that I have to walk on? Once I know that, I'll do it myself. You know, if I know that this I'm meant to be married, that's fine. God can stand over there, behave himself. I'll do my own thing. I know what it is to be married, or I know what it is to be a priest, or to be consecrated, or to be a doctor, whatever it is. We seem to only turn to God to find the direction. And then we miss the point of what the vocation actually is. It's a calling. And not just a momentary calling, as though someone says, hey, you, go there. But it's that walking with and listening to every single day. That we're not simply walking down a predetermined path, but we are walking side by side with Christ, and we are listening to him. Because every day he is speaking to us about where we should go, but also about what we should speak. What you are meant to speak with your mouth, but more particularly what you are meant to speak with your life, what you are meant to proclaim in your vocation. You see, being married is a whole lot more than just loving your husband or wife. It's a prophetic role. What are you proclaiming? What are you speaking to your husband or wife or to the world? How are you embodying the gospel, this message of the love of Christ? How are you making it known to the world? How do you embody the death and resurrection of Christ? Now, this fulfillment of love where Christ lays himself down completely in service of the other. How does your vocation proclaim that to the world? You know, if you're a brother, a priest, whatever it is, the same question applies. If you are single in the world, if you are still discerning your calling, how do you proclaim within that vocation? That's a much harder question than simply trying to find out which road to walk down. Because it requires a listening. And this brings us back to Moses, where he says, I wish that all of you were prophets and that you were filled with the Spirit. That every day you were listening to the Spirit, calling upon the Spirit, being empowered by the Spirit, so that you would be a prophecy to the world. Now, at that point, it's probably good to come back to understand the vocation of the prophet, to look at the ones in the Old Testament and how difficult that calling was. There is nothing really pleasant about this. As much as it might sound nice and pious to go and be a prophet in the world, what you're actually being called to here is to be in a position where you're going to cop it from every side. For a father in a family to stand up and say, this is the path that is good. That means occasionally you're going to have to tell your teenagers you're not going out wearing that, or you're not going to that party. And those who have done that know exactly what comes back when you say such a thing. And yet you are proclaiming a truth that needs to be spoken, because it's a truth being spoken out of love. You know, in the workplace, when you have to make a decision that's actually according to your conscience, you could be putting your job on the line. And more these days we're seeing this, where anyone who seems to be standing for Christianity, that they are very often threatened with being sacked. You know, there's been many cases in England where this has happened. This becomes a very dangerous job. There is nothing pleasant about being a prophet. And if we are to actually stand and live our vocation, this means that we're probably going to have to offend people in a very nice way. Always trying to offend people in a nice way. Right, much better than being nice to people in an offensive way, which happens far too often. You know, because so often we're so determined to be nice, and we're so determined to say what people want to hear, and even for us priests, to come up and preach what we know people want to hear, so they'll walk away and think, oh, nice homily, Father. And it does them no good at all. Yeah, to really stand against this culture of niceness, this culture which is trying to say the worst thing is to offend. We'd much rather be able to lead ourselves off to destruction by ourselves. We don't want anyone to disturb our peace along the way. We are called as Christians to be a prophetic people, to be the ones who stand in the power of the Spirit and proclaim. It has to be done in the power of the Spirit. It has to be done with a real heart of listening to Christ. If you try and do this by your own strength and speak what you think is right, you're going to cause a lot of destruction. But if you do this out of a deep spirit of prayer and a real desire to listen to the Word of God, to speak when you need to speak, to be silent when you need to be silent, and trust that God is intimately involved, that he wants to use you. He wants to use you as a witness in the world, as a voice in the world. You may not even see the fruit of what you do. And yet this is a calling which is so necessary these days. Will you stand? Will you make a decision to step out of your comfort zone, to step out of mediocrity and become a dangerous Christian? To become a Christian who actually lives their vocation, to live this vocation of holiness, to live this vocation in the Spirit of God, to bring light into a world that's hiding in the darkness. This is a dangerous calling, as I keep saying. Every 5 minutes in the world, a Christian dies in proclamation of their faith. There are more martyrs these days than there have been any other time in history. In the last century, there were more martyrs than there were for the 19th centuries previously. In a very dark world, who will stand? The grace of God is there. We simply need to make this decision and say, Lord, my life is yours. My vocation is yours. My marriage, whatever it is, I want you to be involved. I want you to be glorified so that people will see you, so that I will no longer proclaim the same thing that the rest of the world is proclaiming, but I will proclaim Christ. I will proclaim love. I will proclaim the love given to us on the cross. This sacrificial love, this love that's prepared to proclaim the truth no matter what the cost. So as we come here into the Eucharist, this most beautiful sacrament, which is the source of all our strength, bring your life into this place. Bring your fears, bring your worries, your anxieties, and ask that the Lord would give you the courage. That just as the bread and wine is transformed into the body and blood of Christ, let us pray that our lives and our vocations would be transformed into a prophecy of truth for the world.